Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. Much happening in the country, much not happening in the country, especially in the nation's capital. We've got a lot of anxiety there as the congressmen, senators are there. They've got a deadline. They want to get things done. They've got a stimulus, but they got to keep the government going. And there's a lot of agricultural impacts with all of that. So, hey, let's head to Washington, D.C. right now and visit with a guy who spends his time working for the North Dakota grain growers, the North Dakota corn growers, Jim Callen. Did I miss anybody who you represent from the Midwest here?
U.S. durum growers.
All righty. Thank you for the good work you do for the farmers from the Midwest here.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure to work for them. Three terrific organizations, outstanding members, and I'm here to do whatever I can to help make sure their interests are represented.
Thank you. Again, there's a lot of work that, you are a lobbyist, I guess, is the, and that's not a bad term, is it?
No, I don't think so. You know, I read somewhere that there are only two jobs protected in the Constitution in the private sector, and those are journalism and lobbying in the First Amendment, the right to petition the government. So I was nice to read that, and I feel good about it.
Yeah. And sometimes both of us need the Freedom of Information Act, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We're all about transparency.
For sure. All right. Well, as of midday, Wednesday, December 16th, I heard Nancy Pelosi left the Capitol saying we're working on big things. Mitch McConnell has addressed Joe Biden as president-elect. But we're still waiting on getting something done as far as some aid for the population.
That's correct, Mick. Once again, your timing is excellent in terms of being on top of what's going on and also asking the question, where are we? And so, yeah, the reports are that the Congress is getting close. You know, not that they don't have a history of rushing to the finish line, right, because they're targeting to get out of town this Friday, the 18th. And, of course, that's when the current continuing resolution expires. So they have a vested interest in continuing to fund the government. And it's not going to be, I don't think, another continuing resolution. It will be what's called an omnibus, so we'll capture the operations of the government through the end of the current fiscal year, which goes until September 30 of 2021. And then there's also talk, as you mentioned, about another stimulus, and more than talk. It looks like they're making some progress in that regard, too. More news just this morning about progress on that front. It's encouraging to hear. We don't know what the details are in terms of agriculture. Specifically, I had heard some things that could be in there regarding ag, a number of $13 billion, but the way it was divided up didn't sound very favorable, what we were hoping for. I know Senator Hoeven wants something more, a larger package, and something more specific in terms of perhaps another round of payments for producers. So we've been working hard on that to make sure that ag continues to have a significant seat at the table. Of course, there'll be PPP, and that helps small businesses for sure in the Midwest. There'll be, I think, extended unemployment benefits, and they're talking about a new round of checks for folks, if it's like last time, that make under $75,000, which is the vast majority of the population. I don't think it's going to be $1,200, but they're talking about a lesser figure, and I don't know what that number is. But it seems as if they're coming together, and you had the four leaders meet yesterday, Speaker Pelosi, Senator McConnell, Leader McConnell, Senate Minority Leader Schumer, and then, of course, Kevin McCarthy, Republican leader in the House. So they met, and I think the progress was made. And then yet this morning, more information coming out slowly, that good news, and they're heading towards an agreement. Now they have to get those, they're going to probably get those two done on the same day, if indeed they get the stimulus. So the omnibus likely could be done by Friday, and then probably the stimulus the same day, so right before they head out of town. Whether they're together or not is not yet known. They could move concurrently. So that's some of the highlights of what's happening here and what I know so far.
All right. And this morning, Senator McConnell was quoted as saying, nobody's leaving town till we get this thing done. And that probably won't be 3 or 4 p.m. on Thursday the 24th, will it?
Well, I certainly hope not. And there's something of a precedent for them waiting until the very last minute. I do think the goal is this Friday. I know a lot of folks have airline tickets on Capitol Hill to get out of town early evening on Friday. So not to say they couldn't change those plans, but yeah, I think that definitely it's certainly possible it could bleed in over into the weekend, but I'd be surprised if it went into next week.
All right, business with Jim Callen, who is a lobbyist for North Dakota corn growers, North Dakota grain growers, and U.S. durum growers. And Jim, the paycheck protection funding, which we referenced, and hopefully that will get renewed here with whatever type of stimulus bill if it happens. But Jim, there's kind of one big hitch with that. The paycheck protection funding that was handed out, much has been forgiven mostly, but for farmers, they would probably have to pay the income tax on that funding. That was not the intent of Congress. And there's work, you know, to try to get that problem or hitch resolved with the IRS because they're not budging. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a big concern. I haven't heard anything recently about what the potential relief could be in that regard. I know the Senate offices and the representative in North Dakota are aware of the situation, aware of the problem. So I don't know, you know, we don't know exactly what the details are going to be. That would be something that would probably need to be fixed in the stimulus. So that's going to have to take a look at that and see what's coming out. But I'm going to be speaking with some of the folks on the Hill today and see if we can find out where that exactly is right now, because that's certainly not something that would be good for producers.
Yeah, who are in the category of small businessmen, even though
absolutely
and women, so
vast majority of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jim, when the dust settles, when the holidays are over, when we turn the calendar page to 2021, what is going to be on the front burner for you in regards to farmers from the Midwest?
We're going to be looking at the new team at USDA, EPA, and within the administration, whom we can be reaching out to, holding Zoom calls, looking to in-person meetings at some point later in 2021 so we can build relationships. I think in the case of likely Secretary Vilsack, we have worked with him in the past. We know him well. No secret that I think most of us would have preferred Heidi Heitkamp, but given that it's Secretary Vilsack, you know, we're not unhappy. I think he's got a good record of being from Iowa, good backgrounds, very supportive of the RFS. Somebody had said it's kind of back to the future with his selection. If we look at his priorities in the past, I mean, he did focus on biotechnology in the last 2 years, ag biotech, having a more certain development process on the regulatory side for ag and food, and that was favorable. I think he's supportive of farm programs and crop insurance. And I remember asking him about crop insurance. Don't forget that. He said, "No, I'm from Iowa. I can't forget that." So we'll look to him for that. He'll be under obviously other pressures that are unique to the incoming administration, particularly on climate change and climate policy. That's going to be permeating throughout the U.S. government, and ag will not be untouched in that regard. So what will happen with producers, you know, how can they contribute? Of course, they're the original conservationists, right? So looking to how producers can help and be of assistance, and hopefully it's not something that's going to be too draconian. So I think he's going to be looking at that. I think he'll also be focused on racial equity matters, too, both within the department and within ag. So his priorities will have shifted some from what he did when he was secretary under President Obama. So we'll be looking to establish those relationships and making sure that there are not going to be cuts to federal crop insurance and farm programs. And given there have been a lot of dollars for producers through no fault of their own, there's probably going to be more scrutiny of these programs heading into the next farm bill. So we're going to need to calibrate and calculate how we can best communicate why those programs are important, and you know that they're working as intended, such as ARC and PLC, And there'd be some shifting there in terms of movements with producers in terms of the program that they select. So we have to make sure that those programs are not penalized because they're working as they're supposed to work, and because this pandemic was, you know, foisted on the country and foisted on producers, and they're trying to do their jobs and producing a lot of good food and fiber for the nation. So we're going to be communicating those messages very strongly and actively. We'll be looking for opportunities on the trade front, whether it's with the EU, continued ag exports to China, and looking for new opportunities in Southeast Asia and throughout the world. And then the other thing, too, I want to make sure that folks are aware of is that there's definitely been a movement in the policy arena towards more of a hazard-based approach regarding pesticides and crop protection products, regarding the review of those and how they're evaluated and approved. And that's kind of what the European Union does. Our system, which is very rigorous, no one's going to say it's easy, it's more of a risk-based standard, and we want to make sure that that's maintained so we don't lose a competitive edge, and also that there aren't undue regulations placed on the developers of the products and to the adverse impact of producers.
All right, Jim Callen, representing North Dakota corn growers, North Dakota grain growers, U.S. durum growers in Washington, D.C. Jim, thank you very much for... there's a gray cloud of uncertainty in Washington, D.C., has been for a while. Thanks, and it's not just the snow today, so thank you for making things a little clearer for us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mick.
You bet. Have a great holiday, you and the family, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay, happy holidays.